I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online this morning. One other announcement that I need to make to let you know of something really great that's coming up. And that is that next Monday, the 31st, okay, Tom Burnett is going to officially retire from his civil service with the U.S. Government and U.S. military. 43 years, right? And so we congratulate Tom on that retirement. And he's already trying to think of all kinds of things he can do because Lynette has a to-do list that just goes on forever. So, but congratulations to Tom on that. Appreciate that. Okay, we have been studying this topic, knowing God, and today we're going to finish this series of lessons. What we've been talking about throughout this series, we began by asking this question: how well do you know God? And for a lot of people, one of the things that we have said over and over again is that this question is something that's important. Do you even know God? And there are a lot of people who know a lot of things about God. I know people that can quote all kinds of scripture. They know a lot of what the Bible says, but unfortunately for them, they don't really have a relationship with God, so their knowledge about God is not really helping them a whole lot. And then there are those people who know a whole lot about God that just isn't so. They've been told this and that, and the Bible says this, and they listen to whatever a preacher tells them. They don't check it out. So they know a lot, but unfortunately, a lot of what they know is not correct. It's not so. And this study has been really focusing on knowing God versus just knowing about God. This is not about information. This is about a personal relationship. And we talk about that all the time. You know, for me, that's one of my big things, is focusing on and really striving to grow in a personal relationship with God. And really what I've tried to do with this series of lessons is to help us to focus on interacting with God in some very important and very valuable ways. And that interaction, I believe, is what really can help take our relationship with God to a whole new level. It's one thing to know God and know about God and even to have a relationship with God, but we all need to be striving more and more every day in our lives to grow in that relationship so that our relationship becomes stronger and stronger all the time. This is, again, not about just information, but it's about our experience with God in our relationship. So we've been talking about seven different areas of interaction, okay? And we began this study talking about grace. We've talked about God's justice. We talked about accepting God's discipline, which sometimes is very difficult to do. We've also talked about returning God's love to Him. We talked about His sovereignty. And last time we talked about our prayer life and speaking to God in prayer. Today we're going to finish this series of lessons looking at the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. The other thing that we've been focusing on with all of this is again just reminding us of how important it is for us to point other people to Jesus and to help other people to have a relationship with Christ. Not just to know about Him again, but to have a relationship with Him, to interact with Jesus. Show other people how to do that, those people that are in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. So this is all about us growing in that relationship and then sharing that with other people so they too can enjoy a relationship with Almighty God. So today, as we finish this up, lesson seven is expecting His victory. We talk about the victory that we have in Christ, but I just want you to think about, while I'm talking about these things this morning, do you really expect to have victory in Jesus? Okay? So we begin in talking about this topic, victory swallows death. All right, now, I want you to think about and go, you know, you may go back to your childhood and think about that there are a lot of things that we should not swallow, right? Okay, for instance, how many times did your parents tell you, don't swallow your gum, right? Because if you swallow your gum, what's going to happen? It's going to get stuck in your stomach and it'll be there for 7 years, right? You know, I've read some different things and he said, no, that's just a myth. It's not true. And I don't know, to be honest with you, whether swallowing gum really causes problems or not. I've not been able to find a definitive answer. But I know that's something that my mama told me all the time, and we told our kids not the same thing. Don't swallow your gum. How about this one? Any of you ever heard this one? Don't swallow the watermelon seeds, because if you do, what'll happen? A watermelon will grow inside your tummy, right? Now, I know that one's not true, okay? Because if that one were true, I'd have a whole patch of watermelons growing inside of me. But again, it's one of those things, don't swallow this, okay? How about this one? Don't swallow your toothpaste, okay? Just don't swallow that. It's just kind of, the taste is bad enough, but just don't swallow your toothpaste. Now, I don't know about you, but this one really puzzles me, okay? You see what that is? It's a coat hanger. I did not realize that we had a huge problem of people swallowing coat hangers, that they have to put a warning on the coat hangers, all right? But there it is. Don't swallow coat hangers. That would be bad for your health, right? So we have all these kinds of things that through life we're told, don't swallow these things. Now, flattery also is one of those things. Flattery is like chewing gum. Enjoy it, but don't swallow it. Okay, there's a whole lot of people that will flatter us about things. Just don't swallow like the chewing gum, okay? There are some things in life that we should swallow. Okay, so we got those things that we shouldn't swallow, but then there are things that we should swallow, okay? But we don't always want to swallow some of the things that we should. Kind of like this young lady, all right? I am not going to swallow this food, okay? How about your pride? Swallow your pride occasionally. It is non-fattening, okay? We need to learn sometimes to swallow that pride. But here's something you got to consider. When you swallow your pride, don't choke on your ego, okay? The truth sometimes is hard to swallow. Okay, if you're choking on your pride. And then the truth, the pill, okay, is that everyone wants to swallow is the truth, but they just can't seem to swallow it. All right, a lot of times we don't want to swallow the truth. Because if we do, we swallow the truth, and that means we got to change some things. And so that is oftentimes a very tough pill to swallow, but one we need to swallow anyway. Okay? And so the doctor tells this fellow, there's nothing wrong with your throat. Lots of people have trouble swallowing their pride. Okay? But again, some things that we need to swallow. So all of that kind of leads us up to what we're talking about this morning is what the Bible tells us, that death is swallowed up in victory. And that's something that we want to have swallowed, okay? We want death to be swallowed up in victory so that we really do have a victory in Christ Jesus. The only way for us to have that victory is for death to be swallowed up in it, okay? In our text that we began with this morning, Paul says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So in other words, this physical body that you and I have, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God, All right, we're all going to die. Those of us who are physically going to die, we're going to, he says, be changed. Look at what he says next. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. So those of us who die physically in this life, we're going to be changed. And those who are still alive when the Lord comes back again, we're going to be changed. Our body will change. We'll get a new heavenly body that will be imperishable, okay? He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And he goes on to say, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. So there is then no more physical, it is all spiritual. Okay? Death, that is physical death and spiritual death, are swallowed up in the victory that we have through Christ Jesus. They no longer threaten us. They no longer can harm us. They no longer can do anything to us because victory in Christ has swallowed death. What a great, great picture that we need to have in our heart and in our mind so that we will be expecting that victory to take place. You see, one of the reasons this is so important is because many people, and I almost say most people, but I'm just going to say many, okay, are really afraid of death. Okay? We tend just to be afraid of death. And whether it's, you know, how's it going to happen? You know, when is it going to happen? All those questions that tend to surround death for us, we tend to be afraid of it. When we really realize and we expect a victory in Christ, then death can have no fear over us any longer. You see? Cannot hold us in fear anymore. Because we know that when victory is, when death is swallowed up, then the victory is at hand. Okay? He goes on to say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And that's really what it's about. Satan wants to destroy God's creation. Okay? That is spiritual death, to separate us from God. And that is the victory of death. Those who die outside of Christ, death has a victory over them. And it has a sting because they will never, ever share in God's glory, but will find punishment for all eternity. That is the sting and the victory of death. And he goes on to say that the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory through him. We don't have to worry about death when we are in Christ Jesus, not physically or spiritually. Death has been conquered through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isaiah prophesied about that some 600 years before Christ, okay? When he said this, Isaiah 25, 7 and 8, on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples. The sheet that covers all nations, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So Isaiah prophesied about death being swallowed up in victory with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Death truly is then swallowed up in victory. Let's talk about this idea of outwardly wasting away, because that has to do in part with death, doesn't it? Okay? With all the struggles and pain and so forth that we follow. But let me tell you about a certain man, okay? There's a Tennessee man who lost 220 pounds and changed his life, okay? This is a picture of Dylan Wall, who weighed 425 pounds when he graduated from high school in 2017, okay? 425 pounds. And his incredible journey, weight loss journey, began with a two-week diet of unseasoned potatoes. He said he needed to cleanse, you know, his palate of all other flavors and seasonings and everything else that helped him then to really focus on losing this weight. And eventually that led to a love for physical fitness, right? So he truly, this is him now. 220 pounds less, he truly has wasted away physically, hasn't he? Okay? We need to look at another kind of wasting away. Okay? Therefore, Paul says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. That's the physical part. Okay? We are wasting away outwardly. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So outwardly, physically, we are wasting away. Well, what does that really mean? Well, this is really in fulfillment of what God told Adam and Eve when he put them in the garden, and he told them that of all of the trees in the garden, they could eat of the fruit of them except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? And he said to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's what the wasting away is all about. Okay? Because when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they ate of the fruit, sin entered into the world, and with it, wasting away. Okay? Death and wasting away have been going on ever since the Garden of Eden. And you know it, all of us have it at one time or another, with all the aches and pains that we feel, and the older we get, the more of those are there, right? Okay? All of the diseases that we have, I mean, we're in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. That's part of the wasting away. There's all kinds of pain and suffering and evil and destruction and all of those kinds of things that go on in this world every day. That's part of the wasting away that is taking place. But Paul says, and really look at this again here, therefore, he says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then he says, for our light and momentary troubles. Now, I don't know about you, but at times when I'm struggling with some of this wasting away, okay, it does not seem either light or momentary. Okay? And for a lot of people, a lot of folks in our church family here have been wasting away with certain physical illnesses, diseases, and struggles for a long time. So they don't seem light and they don't seem momentary at all, do they? But yet Paul says that's exactly what they are. They are light and momentary. How can he say that? He says, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So it's all about the victory in Jesus. You see, we have that victory that has been promised and assured to us. And when we understand and we are expecting that victory, then whatever we face in this short life, because that's what it is, compared to eternity, James refers to it as a mist, okay, a vapor. And we need to understand that. Yes, it's when we're in the midst of the storm, when we're in the midst of the wasting away, it doesn't feel light and it doesn't feel momentary, but when we consider what it is accomplishing or achieving for us, you see, that is a victory that outweighs all of those troubles. When we are living our life in relationship with God, expecting His victory, we can focus on that victory a lot easier, and that helps that wasting away and the struggle. It doesn't remove it. Because again, in this life, we're going to have some wasting away, aren't we? Okay? But when we look at the victory that is assured to us and we expect that victory, then they truly are light and momentary because we're looking at an eternity without any of that. You say, okay, but what about right now? Because again, that wasting away is not, you know, it doesn't seem like momentary when I'm going through it, does it? And we say, well, you know, I know all about later. I know, okay, I've got this victory that Christ has assured me of, and when I die, then I've got the victory, and all that's great and wonderful, what I've got to look forward to, but what about now? What about day to day? Especially as I am wasting away, as I'm struggling through those light and momentary troubles. What about now? Okay? Well, what I want to encourage you to think about is that we can and need to be overcomers. And what does that mean? It means living a life of victory. So, in other words, we need to be living our life day to day, even through the struggles, realizing, listen to me, we already have the victory. Okay? Did you hear me? We already have the victory. We are overcomers. And we need to live our life in that victory day to day. Look at what John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So you see, John is talking about right now, not just something that's going to happen after we die somewhere down in the future. He's talking about right now that everyone who belongs to God, right, overcomes the world. And all the struggles and all the problems that the world can throw at us. Jesus himself even warned us, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And therefore, everyone who is born of God, everyone who belongs to Christ, everyone who has put their faith in Him is an overcomer. Now again, I understand I'm talking about present tense, not something that's going to happen. It's not we will be overcomers. We are overcomers right now. Okay? That victory that we have in Christ overcomes the world. And our faith in Christ Jesus is that victory. Okay? So therefore, if you belong to Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer already. Okay? You are an overcomer. Someone said, walk in all of God's blessings, receive His salvation, and embrace the victory He's prepared for you. Embrace it. See? Embrace the victory. God has already given us the victory in Christ Jesus. We need to embrace that, okay? Jesus has, again, it's already taken place. He has overcome the world. Therefore, so have you. If you belong to Jesus, therefore, expect to walk in victory today. Walk in victory right now, today, as an overcomer. One who has overcome the world. We have victory in Jesus. And He has swallowed up death in His victory on the cross of Calvary. It's not just victory, though. It is overwhelming victory. Okay? And I want you to think of it this way. When Jesus died on the cross, and He was put in the tomb, and He rose again from the dead, that was an overwhelming victory. In other words, the contest between He and Satan, it wasn't even close, folks. Okay? It wasn't even close. It wasn't a hope He wins situation, okay? It wasn't even close. It never was going to be. It was an overwhelming victory on the part of Jesus overcoming death. You see? And that is something to rejoice in for those who belong to Christ. That victory is overwhelming. So, therefore, understanding all of that, what should we expect? What should we expect in our relationship with God? What I want you to think of is this. Expect victory. God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. He's provided it. We need to expect that. This is not a I hope so, I wonder situation. I need to expect that victory in Christ Jesus. If I belong to Him, that victory is promised and it is assured in Jesus Christ our Lord. Expect victory through Him. Not just for the future, but expect it every day and walk in that victory. You see? Walk in that victory from day to day in your life. Through the light and momentary troubles, through whatever it is that we're facing, expect victory in your relationship with God. When you do that, then knowing God makes all the difference in the world. Okay? Now, Wesley has an invitation song that he has chosen for us to sing, and so we extend the Lord's invitation to anyone. Those of you who are here this morning physically, the invitation is extended to you. You have any prayer request, any need that we can address this morning, you're invited to come and share that with us. I believe that everyone that is here this morning with us is a Christian, but there may be something going on in your life that you need some prayer, guidance, whatever it might be. We want you to let us know how we might be able to help you and serve you. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, there may be someone out there who's not yet a Christian who, on hearing these things, maybe you understand now that you don't share in the victory because you haven't given your life to Christ. And that's the only way you can expect that victory is to give your life to Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and to be able to share in that victory, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you can do that as soon as possible. All you have to do is contact us and let us know that you're ready to make that commitment, and we will make it happen as soon as possible. Today, if we can make it happen for you. We have phone numbers that will be on the screen for our invitation song. You can text either Dale or Wes. Wesley will be leading singing, but you got your phone with you? Okay, he's got his phone today, so while he's doing it, and we'll address that, whatever you want to send to him, we'll address that afterwards. But the Lord's invitation is open, and we extend that to everyone. Just call either Dale or Wes and let them know if you're with us online or anyone here. can come up and respond physically. So let's stand together and sing. Wes, come on up.